This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial Executive Vice President, Money Manager Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, December 29th, 2014 edition of Invest Talk. It's our last Monday show of the year. Just a couple more days until 2015. And today's show is entitled Warren Buffett Tells the Difference Between Stock Trading and Investing. And it's important, I think, to explore the thoughts that Warren Buffett has and the way he likes to invest and whether that's the way you want to invest. And everyone's going to say, of course I want to invest like Warren Buffett. Well, you have to kind of understand what that entails. That can entail a lot of downside volatility. And over the long term, it can be a great way to invest. But it's not as simple as I think a lot of people make it out to be. But we're going to explore what he says and see how it can fit, potentially fit, hopefully, your investing model and your mindset when it comes to investing. Now, welcome to our Monday Invest Talk. We are live weekdays from 4 to 5 Pacific time, and you can have a two-way conversation about your money with us. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278. We'll be taking our first call in a few moments, and I urge everybody to call sooner rather than later instead of waiting to that last 5 minutes of the show. Now, InvestTalk.com is an extension to the Invest Talk program. And if you haven't made a visit to it yet or recently, I invite you to. One of the features on the site is Steve's market commentary that he writes several times a week. Today's commentary is entitled, What Will Russia Do? Of course, it addresses the current financial crisis that they're going through right now. It's on the homepage, and you can just scroll down to the market commentary section and read it there. Another item on InvestTalk.com, right next to the commentary on the page to the left, you'll see a blue box that's labeled Free Personal Risk Analysis. Now, we introduced this tool a few months ago, and it's become really popular. We get dozens and dozens every single week, and it's a very, very easy to use tool. It helps you understand your risk tolerance for investment risk, and at the same time, opens up another capability that can help you gauge the risk you're currently taking in your retirement portfolio, and we can assess whether you're on the right track for retirement as well. Now, during our last webinar, we explained in detail how to use this tool, and it's pretty straightforward. And if you're an InvestTalk insider, you can replay that webinar and see exactly how it works. And the whole process only takes about 5 minutes. Now, all you do is answer a short series of questions, very quick, very easy to understand, and then you're assigned a risk number. And this is used to measure your level of risk and hopefully match it up with your investments. Because, you know, if you're invested one way, but your true risk tolerance based on what you can handle volatility-wise is something else, then you need to change your investment mix. So that's what that tool helps you do, helps us help you do. Okay, so just go to investtalk.com and you can check that out right there. And if you aren't an InvestTalk insider member, you can always sign up. It's free. Just go to investtalk.com. Now, do you have a question about risk? Do you know there's a certain level of risk just of having your money in the bank? There's a level of risk there. What is that type of risk? Give us a call. Talk to us. Let's pick up the phone and get to the Q&A portion of the program. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us 24 hours a day.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Pete from sunny but cold Vegas. Anyway, on with the question. The question I have has to do with receiving dividends. I know many a times you've said you have to own something, let's call it Microsoft. You have to own it on the X day. The question I have is, do you really have to own it the whole day? Meaning, let's assume I owned Microsoft, and on the X day, I sell it at middle of the day. And let's assume, by the same coincidence, a friend of mine bought Microsoft towards the end of the day. We both owned it some portion of the day. Will both of us get it? Will none of us get it? Will only one or the other get it? I hope you get the question. Again, this is Pete signing off in sunny Vegas. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, that's a great question because it is kind of a nuanced answer, but it's pretty simple. So a company that you own in any, let's just talk about any stock out there. It has a certain dividend yield, right? It pays some sort of share amount per share. And there's something called the X day, the X dividend date, meaning you have to own that stock on that day to get that dividend. Now, you don't have to own it the whole day. All you have to do is own it when the market opens that day, meaning you could buy it the day before, right, and own it when the market opens on the X day and the stock starts to trade, and boom, you get that. You're qualified to get that dividend. You can even sell it during the X day. You can sell it 1 second after it opens. But you have to own it the day before the close of business and till it opens the day of the X date. So you can sell it that day. And you're not going to get it if you buy it on the X day. Because remember, the price adjusts on the open. Okay? So, yeah, you could sell it that day. And just because you bought it that day doesn't mean you're going to get it. You don't buy it on the X date. You have to buy it before the X date. And for all those out there, when you're thinking about dividends, you don't get the money on the X date. You usually get it sometime after, 2, 3, 4 weeks or so after the X date. That's when you'll actually get that dividend into your account. Okay, so that's hopefully that answers your question and gets you a little bit better understanding of the X date and when you need to own it. And a lot of people try to play it. They just own a stock on the X date. That's not the greatest strategy to operate on because the stock drops the level of the dividend. All right? So often we think there's no difference between stock trading and investing. Well, Warren Buffett explains the difference, and that's what we're going to discuss coming up. We also have some other talking points as well for you today. One I want to touch on is ROI to home improvements. You know, a lot of people, new year, maybe thinking about what they want to do to their home, remodel their kitchen, add an extra room, remodel a bathroom. What are the things that you can do to your home and still recoup a good amount of value when you do go to sell that particular home? So say you want to make a remodel now, but you want to sell in the next 5-10 years. What are the home improvements that are going to have the best return on investment? I think that's always interesting and something to think about when you're putting money into your home. Then I want to talk about the new Greek drama. There are problems cropping back up in Greece. There's a bunch of different political parties there that are vying for power, and none of them really have a stronghold. Strong following. None of them are even close to 50%. So how are the elections coming up in the next month going to affect the marketplace and what goes on globally and in Greece and the euro? And I think that's going to be interesting to discuss and important to discuss as well. And as we move into 2015... what are the 10 things you should not be buying in 2015? What are 10 things that you should not be buying in 2015? Meaning, either they're out of date or you can get them free. You know, there's things that the world has changed when it comes to that particular service or that particular product. And ways that you can save money and not spend on things that you really could get for free or better somewhere else. So I think that's always interesting to touch on in a new year and an ever-changing world. It's always good to figure out a better way to save some money and also to get better value out of your money. All right. So we're going to talk about those three things as well as our main talking point, but ultimately I want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is our number. 888-992-4278 is the number to get through and ask your question in the next 45 minutes. Now let's take a quick look at today's market. The S&P closed up a little less than 2 points, 0.1%. The Dow closed down 15 points. The NASDAQ was up basically nothing. It was flat, 0.05 points. So you had a pretty flat day on the markets overall. I know the Dow was down, so everyone say, oh, the market was down. Not really. The market was flat pretty much the whole day. You had oil rebounded a little bit. Gold was flat. You had the dollar strengthened a little bit. So, and you had oil sell off early in the day, and then I think it kind of rallied back later in the day. And yields fell. The yield on the 10-year fell to about 2.21% from about 2.25%. Okay. So that's where the 10-year ended up at. The 30-year fell about 4 basis points down to 8% at the end of close of business today. So you had yields dropping, market flat, oil flat to slightly up. Gold was flat. When you talk about economic news, you only had one piece of economic news. I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, it was the Dallas economic indicator, and it was down a little bit. And a lot of it is going to have to do with a lot of that had to do with oil prices. Oil prices are down. Texas is a big producer of oil. You're going to see some softness in the economy in Texas. It's just expected. They're heavily leveraged to the oil industry. Now, do you have questions about managing a bond portfolio? InvestDoc insiders have access to an info sheet that gives you some suggestions and background on the process. You can get one, too, when you join our InvestDoc insider list. All you have to do is go to investtalk.com. I'm portfolio manager Justin Klein, and this is InvestDoc. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, our talking point today is about Warren Buffett and how he thinks about investing and how you need to, or you could incorporate his philosophy into your investing mindset. Now, he says, inactivity strikes us as intelligent behavior. Neither we nor most business managers would dream of feverishly trading highly profitable subsidiaries because a small move in the Federal Reserve's discount rate was predicted or because some Wall Street pundit had reversed his view on the market. Why then should we behave differently with our minority positions in wonderful businesses? So basically he's saying, as a business owner, big businesses, they don't trade subsidiaries because of what some, what the Fed did, or, if the economy was 0.2%, the GDP was 0.2% higher last quarter. They don't trade those type of things. They look at the big picture and they say, okay, we own this business for X, Y, and Z reasons. Usually that has to do with, a strong business model, whatever industry they're in, profitability, things like that. And then they decide to keep it. And if, all those things change, maybe they'll spin it off or they'll sell it. And he says you should think of that the same way when you're investing. So we're going to talk about this a little bit more coming up. Now, we want to hear your questions. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now with your money topic on InvestTalk.
I am putting my money on the table right alongside yours.
It's called parallel investing, and it's one of the differences that set KPP Financial apart. It means that you don't have to wonder. You don't have to wonder if the people managing your retirement portfolio have your best interest at heart.
The same programs, I buy the same stocks, same price as the clients. That's what parallel investing is all about.
If you'd like to know more about parallel investing and any of the KPP Financial programs, just visit investtalk.com or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. The principals at KPP Financial put themselves in their client's shoes and walk with them every step of the way.
So that we're all making the same amount of money, or we're losing the same amount of money, and I really hate to lose money. Think about that.
What makes our podcast somewhat unique is that you can talk to our host directly. Ask your question. Make a comment. Just call our 24-hour listener line. And if you call between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time, you can help shape the discussion. Have a conversation. That's 888-99-CHART. Please be in touch.
Now, your calls are the lifeblood of our conversation on InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us whenever you have a money question or comment.
Let's get Steve, my name is Jake. I'm calling from Chicago. I was listening to your podcast today about target date funds and people using them incorrectly. And you mentioned on there that you're not a big fan of them regardless of how you use them. I was just kind of curious for some more details on that. I'm 27 years old now, and the majority of my investment portfolio is in a target date fund through my employer's 401k. So just kind of want some more details on what you don't like about them and maybe some better options in terms of overall investment portfolio. Thanks a lot, and I'll listen for you guys' answer on here. Thanks a lot.
All right, that's a great question because targeted funds are pretty popular nowadays, especially because most 401k plans offer them, and they sound simple and they sound great, and the fund families love them. Why? Because if you invest in, you know, Fidelity targeted fund, well, guess what? Fidelity gets all that money, and it seems like, oh, put all my money into a targeted fund, and boom, I'm done. I don't think about it. Well, you know, I think it's a better alternative than most investors who buy high and sell low and freak out and make bad investment decisions. So, you know, it does have some usefulness. But what I would say is think of two people. I think he said he was 25 years old. Think of two employees that are both 25 years old, working for the same company, same target date options. And say one has a couple of kids, is married, maybe makes a bunch of money, and maybe is conservative. But also, you know, they can't save a lot of money because they have two kids. Well, what about the other employee who's also 25, maybe has no kids, maybe makes more money, maybe he can put more away, but he wants to, he has more risk tolerance. And in retirement, he has different goals than the counterpart who, you know, has two kids. Well, if they both pick, say, a 2060 targeted fund, call it 2060 targeted fund, in their 401k, well, guess what? Both of those employees will be invested exactly the same, but their needs are very, very different. And that's why, you know, what we do with our 401k solution is we give each individual a risk assessment, a portfolio assessment, a needs assessment, and figure out where they should be. Should they be aggressive? Should they be conservative? Should they be moderate? And it's a custom targeted fund. It's not one size fit all. That's the problem with targeted funds. They act like they're one size fit all, but they are not. They are not. And historically, you know, they haven't been around a ton of time, but their performance isn't that great either. So, you know, there are a lot of issues with target-dated funds. Mainly, they're just not a great way to invest. There may be a slightly better way than the here's a bunch of funds, good luck type of scenario, which a lot of individuals with 401ks have, right? They get a list of funds and they are on their own to figure out how to invest it. And I understand that targeted funds might be slightly better because it gives them some sort of asset allocation has some generalized strategy, but it's very generalized and it's not specific to each individual and the performance isn't that great. So that is kind of the issues with those are the issues with targeted funds and why there are much better solutions out there, including our 401k solution. That's not obviously that's a plug, but you know, that's a real call that came in to our show. So I try to answer it as best as possible because being in the 401k business, we understand the benefits and the many, many drawbacks to target dated funds. Now there are more But those are the biggest general ones that apply to really all 401k plans and all targeted funds. Let's talk quickly. Let's talk about our talking point. Let's go to our talking point and try to finish that up. We're talking about Warren Buffett, right? We're talking about Warren Buffett and how he says he doesn't trade willy-nilly based on, he doesn't sell subsidiaries in his businesses just because of small changes in the economic picture. And he says, well, you shouldn't too. He encourages investors to always understand when they buy a stock. They aren't simply buying a number. Instead, they're buying part, however small or large, of a tangible business and the future earnings it generates. And that is a great way to look at it. It is a very good way to look at it. The biggest issue that most people have with investing like Warren Buffett is they don't understand that recessions are good, that bear markets are good. And you say, well, why would a recession be good? Why would a bear market be good? Well, recessions and bear markets create a lot more opportunity. Cheap companies to go out there and buy. And Warren Buffett loves those things. But the problem is most people don't have the wherewithal. They might say it now, oh, the market goes down big, oh, I'm going to buy. Well, when their portfolio is going down along with it dramatically, then suddenly they get scared. Warren Buffett doesn't get scared because he understands he has the wherewithal to handle that, and he has billions of dollars to do it. So you got to have the mental wherewithal to handle a bear market and the money, right, the financial wherewithal to invest in a bear market as well. I'm Portfolio Manager Justin Klein, and I'm here to answer your money questions. You can reach us now. We are live 4 to 5 Pacific Time. Give us a call if you'd like at 888-99-CHART. Let's get back to work now on the phones, answering your questions. Don't hesitate to ask any money questions at all, whether you're a beginner or experienced investor. We are here for you at 888-992-4278.
Hi, my name is Joe, and I'm calling from the city of South San Francisco. My question is, I'm a newbie, and I like to start to form a portfolio and to learn how to invest in stocks. Where do I get a broker? Do I need a broker? Definitely don't start off planned. Thank you.
8890. Oh, I did that again. He's asking about where to start. Well, the first thing you have to do if you're a beginning investor is you need to read. You need to read up on what is a stock? How do companies make money? What about different industries? What is a growth stock? What is a value stock? What is a large cap stock? You need to understand the terminology. How do you measure profitability? What's a dividend? What strategies work for you? What type of risk profile do you have? Are you going to be an aggressive investor? Are you going to be a conservative investor? Those are all very, very important questions that you need to answer for yourself. Then you can go open a brokerage account, and you probably want to hire a professional to start out. Whether it's a broker, an advisor like us, hire somebody to kind of walk you through the basics, and you can see what they invest in. Have them explain to you why they bought that particular company. Figure out what the professional's mindset is and their strategy. Okay. So I think that's a good way to start at it. There, on our website, investtalk.com, there is a books section, and it's chock full of investing classics, basically things that you need to learn, ideas that you need to grasp, concepts you need to grasp. There's 5 sections. There's the classics, from books by Peter Lynch. There's Extraordinary Popular Delusions, The Madness of Crowds, one of my favorite books ever. World's Greatest Stock Trader, about Jesse Livermore. Then there's the fundamental analysis section. You have Intelligent Investor. You have a couple books on Warren Buffett. Confessions of a Stockbroker. Then there's technical analysis. How to read a chart. Candlestick charts. Technical analysis books. Then there's Understanding Economics. There's books by Milton Friedman, Thomas Sowell, Peter Schiff, Adam Smith. Then there's a personal finance section, just understanding how to manage money generally. These are all important things that you can read and get a good broad education, and then you can start investing. So number one is just educating yourself. Before you ever open up a brokerage account, investment account, you know, save that money. It doesn't mean you can't save money. You just don't invest it right away. Put it in the bank. Put it in money market. Put it in CDs. You know, maybe put it in the two-year CD and use those 2 years to educate yourself. However long you think you need to get educated. It's not going to be a month. It's not going to be 3 months. It may be a year if you are very dedicated and you're reading a lot and you're studying the markets and you're doing a lot of educating yourself. It's not a short period of time. It's going to take a while. So start saving, read up, get educated, and you will be on your way to investing success. Now let's talk quickly about... What do I want to talk about? Let's talk about Greece real quick. Now, Greece's parliament will be dissolved, and the country will hold snap elections on January 25th. January 25th. And this risks a nasty fallout for Greece's fragile economic recovery. Now, the need for snap elections was triggered on Monday after Greece's parliament was unable to secure enough votes to install a new president. And this caused the yields on 10-year Greek government bonds to jump by a full percentage point to 9.3%, reflecting growing concern that Greece may be headed for another debt crisis. And this is just a replay of what happened just a few years ago. Now, opinion polls indicate that the popular anti-austerity party, Syriza, I think is how you say it, Syriza. When I say anti-austerity, I mean they don't want to cut spending anymore. You know, Greece has been cutting spending for the past 5 years, and it's ravaged their economy and hurt a lot of people. And this party does not want that to go on. And opinion polls say that they're the most popular. Now, they're not a majority. I think they're somewhere in the 30% support range. But there's a lot more than just two parties. There's a good handful of parties that have decent following. Now, they want to renegotiate the terms of Greece's $240 billion European bailout package that was agreed to with the IMF just a few years ago. Now, they vowed to reverse many of the reforms that have helped Greece return to some semblance of a decent economy. I wouldn't say good economy, but it's much better than it was just a couple years ago. And they want to introduce spending programs, they would hike wages, and increase pensions. Now, obviously, they're going to need some concessions from creditors to do that. And that's kind of what's worrying the market. Now, their debt-to-GDP ratio is back up to 170% of GDP. It's a lot. It's very high. So it's not like their debt problems have been solved. I think they've just been, they haven't been exacerbated. They've been reduced, but they have not been solved. Now, a lot of analysts think that they could handle issues in Greece. The Eurozone could handle issues in Greece. But, you know, it does risk, you know, broader fallout. There's a lot of hedge funds that invest in Greek debt. You know, where do those losses from creditors, where does that land on? And how broad sweeping could that be? What does that do to the euro? What does that do to other nations in the euro, like Italy, like Spain, that are having financial difficulties as well? So that's something I think everybody should keep an eye on. You know, we have less than a month before those elections happen, but the market fell. The Greek market fell a few days ago on the 20th. Let's see, what was that? That was on the 8th of this month, the 9th of this month. And that was when they announced they were going to have the elections. Well, most people didn't expect the elections to come to anything of any resolution. So this is kind of expected that they were going to have a new election. And that's what you're going to see, but it's something that everybody should keep an eye on because it could have much broader ramifications. Let's go to Willem. Is that it? How you doing, yep. Willem?
Doing good. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
I have a question regarding retirement. I was wondering what other options are available besides 401k for mid to high income earners.
Are you self-employed?
No, I'm on W-2.
Okay. There's always an IRA. Do you make too much to contribute to an IRA?
I'm not sure if I'm eligible. I make around 140, and I think my wife and I will combine make 200. So just wondering if there's any other options besides IRA. I'm sorry, 401k that we can contribute to.
Yeah, I think you're right on that border. I mean, I'll talk to your accountant to see exactly where you are and whether you can contribute to an IRA. But yeah, your 401k is your best option to put away a lot of money. IRA, like I said, is possible, and you make a lot of money, so you're probably in a high tax bracket. So a straight regular IRA is probably the best way to go. There's not a whole lot of other ways to really avoid taxes and put more money away. It's just savings, really.
Okay. All right. That's all I need to know. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Willem. Now, start the new year off by getting your retirement portfolio in order. We have two new portfolio reviews in Southern California. Steve will be in San Diego County January 13th and at our home office in Dana Point on January 15th. To save your hour, just go to investtalk.com, click on the schedule a meeting button. And if you're out of range of these locations, we can also schedule meetings via Skype or telephone.
Why not sign up to be an InvestTalk insider? Steve has a new info sheet on investing in oil stocks. It's the latest offering for InvestTalk insiders. Why not sign up yourself? It's free on investtalk.com.
Justin, my name is Bill. I'm calling from Lakewood, New Jersey. I'm comparing symbols T, C, P, and W, P, Z, gas distribution companies. Could you give me a comparison on both stocks and listen to the podcast? Thank you so much. I love the show. Have a great day.
All right, he's looking at TCP as a symbol, TC Pipelines. This is a master limited partnership. Formed by TransCanada Pipelines to acquire, own, and operate natural gas pipelines in North America. So this is related to TransCanada. They're the builder of the Keystone Pipeline. Whether that's going to get approved or not, who knows. They operate natural gas pipelines, so a little bit different than oil. They yield about 4.6%. Earnings supposed to grow 23% this year, 2% next year. So let's compare that to WPZ, as William Partners. There, this is also a master limited partnership. Yields 8%. It's engaged in gathering, transporting, and processing of natural gas and fractionation and storage of natural gas liquids. Higher yields. What was the TCP? Let's look at the debt. More debt on TCP than WPZ, but I like TCP. I know it yields less, but I do think eventually the Keystone Pipeline does get through, and TCP is stronger. Their growth prospects are better. Williams Partners, earnings supposed to go down 34% this year. Supposed to go back up a bunch next year, but I doubt that. mightily. Williams Partners has been issuing more shares, and TCP has not, and they've increased their dividend recently. So I like TCP. Even though they have a little more debt, their growth prospects are better. Profitability is about the same. Return equity is 12%, about the same. And even though you might be attracted to that 8% dividend, I like the one that has a stronger chart, has stronger growth prospects, and is I'm sure it has some exposure to the fracking industry, but it's mainly just in the natural gas and in Canada. So I would stick with that one, and WPZ looks to have too much fracking exposure. Fracking exposure, all right? So I would go with TCP over WPZ. Now, this is Invest Talk 101. Invest at Risk comes in several flavors. In the beginning of the program, I talked about our free risk analysis tool that I hope you'll try. But did you know there are several types of investment risk? Now, the two general types of risk are losing money, which is identified as investment risk. Then there's losing buying power, which is inflation risk. Probably comes as no surprise, there are several different ways you might lose money on investment. To manage these risks, you need to know what they are. Now, most investment risk is described as either systematic or non-systematic. Systematic risk, also known as market risk, and relates to factors that affect the overall economy or the stock market as a whole. Now, systematic risk affects all companies regardless, and it can involve international as well as domestic factors. So it can be politically driven here in the U.S. or globally. It could be a global economic issue. It could be a domestic economic issue. Things like interest rate risk, risks that the value of a security will go down because of changes in interest rates. That's a systematic risk. Then there's inflation risk, and that's the risk that increases the price of goods and services and therefore the cost of living, reducing your overall purchasing power. Now, what about non-systematic risk? Non-systematic risks, in contrast to systematic risk, affects a much smaller number of companies or investments and is associated with investing in a particular product, company, or industry sector. So think of it as bad earnings report from a particular company, maybe oil prices going down affecting the energy industry as a whole, right? Maybe it's the cost of labor. What if the minimum wage goes up? Well, that's going to affect the fast food industry, right? And managing risk and credit risk are a couple. Management risk and credit risk are a couple other examples. So if management makes a bad decision, management leaves, that's a risk that could cause a fluctuation in the value of a company. Then credit risk, whether a company defaults or not. So that's Invest Talk 101. And if you have a topic you'd like us to expand on, let us know by phone at 888-99-CHART or go to investtalk.com. Click on the Contact Justin button.
Our Invest Talk podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, and we thank you for subscribing. Just because you live out of range of our California offices does not mean that you can't take advantage of Steve's offer to review your retirement portfolio. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting. It can happen by Skype or telephone. If you have a question about the process, click on Contact Steve and ask.
Let's answer one more question before we're done with this hour. 8899-CHART is how to reach us anytime.
My name is Don. I'm from Endicott, New York. I'm a podcast listener. Had a question on the stock Caterpillar, symbol is CAT. I was wondering if this was a good time to buy it. I'm looking to buy it, or should I let it gain a little bit more strength, or should I just wait till the summer? I was wondering when you think I should get in on this. Thank you, and I'll be listening. Thanks. Bye.
All right, he's looking at Caterpillar. CAT is the symbol. Most people know who Caterpillar is. They're the largest producer of construction, mining equipment, diesel and natural gas engines, turbines, and locomotives. Giant company, big company, $56 billion market cap. And I like the name. It's profitable, yields about 3%. Technically, right now, it's not doing very hot. It made a high in July and has been making lower highs and lower lows ever since then. And even when it bounces, it doesn't bounce that well. So, you know, from a fundamental perspective, it does have a lot of debt, 128% debt to equity ratio. It's finally turning around its profitability. It had declining profitability. It made $8.90 in 2012. 2013, it only made $5.58. This year, it's supposed to make $6.56. In 2015, $6.96. So, slowly improving, but not getting back to that 2012 number, which is a little bit worrisome. Yields about 3%, nice dividend yield, and that dividend yield is pretty safe. So I like what you're looking at when it comes to, from a valuation perspective, it's not expensive. In fact, I would say it's slightly cheap. But I would say that from a technical perspective, it continues its downward march from a high of about 110 in middle of the year and at 93 and change at the close today. And it's near support, but it's, like I said, it's still marching lower. And there's nothing to me that shows me that it's going to gain any strength anytime soon. So I would wait on it. I would keep it on your watch list. And if it can start trading back above its 50-day moving average, which right now is at about 98 and change, what's it called? $98, which is that's 50-day moving average. Now, obviously, that's going to change over time, but watch that 50-day moving average, and if it can get above it and stay above it for, let's say, a month, then I would think about buying it. But until then, you know, I would stay away from it from a technical perspective, but keep it on your watch list because it is relatively cheap. Not super cheap, but relatively cheap in relation to history. 8899 chart, 8899-242-4278. Let's finish up the show talking about remodeling projects. There's New Year's coming in, and you know, getting the best ROI from home improvements. A lot of people want to put money in their home. They want a new kitchen. They want this, new this and that. Well, what are you going to get the most money out of when you go to sell that home? Well, the highest return on investment, now you're never going to get dollar for dollar. You know, you spend 10 grand to do X, Y, and Z to your home. You're never going to get all that $10,000 back, right? There's always going to be some loss there. But what is the best return on investment? One is minor kitchen remodel. It's the first one. Now, if you're remodeling on a budget, focus on a few key areas. Replace dated appliances with more modern, maybe stainless steel appliances. Replace aging countertops with sturdier material that you can afford. And replace cabinet hardware. Not, you know, leave the boxes in place, but, you know, maybe change the knobs and paint it, you know, fresh coat of paint, and a new backsplash. And that has the highest ROI. Then the major kitchen remodel, and this includes a complete gutting from cabinets to appliances to flooring, replace them with modern mid-range materials. That is the second on the list. So if you can get away with a minor remodel, that's going to have the best ROI. If you can't, you know, a major kitchen remodel is still second on the list, so it's not too bad. Number three is a bathroom remodel, and the average cost of a bathroom includes replacing the tub, shower head, toilet, sink, vanity, as well as floors and wall tiles. Now, if you can get away with keeping the tub and the toilet and the sink and just replacing, you know, the floors and new shower head, new faucet, that's a more efficient way to go. And then it's basement remodels, second story additions, and then building a deck in your home. And that's the list of the best ROI when it comes to remodel your home. Now, before we close the hour, be sure to sign up to be an Invest Talk Insider. You can access a whole list of helpful webinars on all kinds of investing topics. That's there ready for you anytime. Sign up for free on investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Justin Klein, and for Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening today. Let's meet here tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing.
Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.